Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
$6 million we owed on that $10 million theft.
I love to see everybody's picking up on this story. We had talked about this on when did we first talk about this? Thursday, I think, and then maybe it was Friday, I don't remember. And then yesterday we were talking about the Senate confirmation hearings, in which the Hope Florida Foundation stuff has definitely not died, if you ask Lacey Bracey Davis, the senator, about this. But yeah, the short version of this, when did we talk about it? Was it Friday? It seems like Friday. Anyway, is that the $10 million that did not go to ACA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, that instead went to Hope Florida Foundation. That's the fundraising companion to the Hope Florida program. And then it got distributed in under very, let's just say not good circumstances. it's a whole drama. This is a Russian novel, okay? And eventually it winds up in the hands of two political action committees overseen by James Uthmeyer, now Attorney General, then, running the show for that side of things. This is, when he wasn't the AG, because Ashley Moody was the AG before she became the Senate. And says $10 million the state missed out on that got mishandled and used for political stuff, which is not what you're supposed to do with Medicaid money. Now, as we talked about the other day, the state, ACA, has paid the 57% back to the federal government on that $10 million that they owe if it's Medicaid money. So now they've actually paid, first of all, that indicates that it is actually Medicaid money and it was supposed to go to ACA. It should not have gone in this side deal, what the governor at the time called a sweetener to the program. They were only going to be penalized 57, but as a sweetener to make the deal more palatable, they threw in $10 million extra just, because on this side payment, which this now proves they should not have done that. That was absolutely inappropriate. That part I totally agree with Alex on. Now the question is, did it just cost $10 million or did it actually cost, $16 million? Did it cost an extra $6 million from the state?
Not only is it an admission from ACA, from my perspective, it's also confirmation that James didn't just steal, like Uthmeyer didn't just steal $10 million from Florida taxpayers. He stole $16 million.
Okay. I love Alex. I do. Alex is one of my favorite legislators. He's a very sharp guy. I trust him deeply. Whenever I have a question, I always go to him. I may have even said this the other day. Now, the more I'm thinking about it, I don't think you can describe it that way. I'm going to give him his last. He was talking on Channel 3 last night. I'll give him his last comment, then I'll explain what I mean. This is a quibble. I'm quibbling with him, but you'll see what I mean in a second.
Fraud is obvious to me. You can't tell me otherwise. It was a direction from James Uthmeyer at a September 10th meeting in the governor's office that we've all established now. It was theft regardless, but now we also know that the state had to admit that $10 million was Medicaid money and should have been handled much more responsibly by James Uthmeyer.
Okay. The question of whether it actually cost 10 or 16 is the only thing I'm quibbling with. And here's why I say it. If we didn't collect any of this money at all, okay, then nothing got done wrong. The $10 million didn't come in. The $6 million, didn't come in. Just none of it happened, right? Okay. If what actually happened is $10 million went sideways illegitimately and $6 million went to the feds out of the $67 million, but you could just wipe out the first $57 million for a second because that's a wash. That's all handled the same way in all three scenarios or all the scenarios. So if 10 goes to the PACs indirectly through Hope Florida Foundation and $6 million goes to the feds, compare that with if the $10 million had stayed with the state and the $6 million had gone to the feds. How much money does the state of Florida out? John, you're an accountant.
Boy, zero? I mean,
if in scenario A, okay, there's $16 million. This is basically right. The $16 million coming back in, okay? $10 million of it is going to these illegitimate Hope Florida Foundation funneled political action campaigns. And then $6 million is going to go to the feds because you have to pay them back. Every $10 million you take in, $6 million, 57% has to go back to the feds. Okay? So you're out $10 million because you didn't receive that, and then you have to pay $6 on the $10 you didn't receive. Sounds like you're out $16. But if the $10 had stayed in-house and gone where it was supposed to go to ACCA, okay, they still would have had to pay $6 on that $10 anyway. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's $4.
Yeah. So are we actually out 16, or are we really only out 10? We're really only out 10. Now, I think I'd have to work on the math a little bit here to see if maybe because of the way it comes back in and what we wouldn't have been paying if we'd have done it that way. But we didn't lose 16. We lost some, if at worst, we lost some smaller fraction of that. But this is quibbling. This is math quibbling. It, the real key to this story is not that it's $6 million more. The real key to this story is that ACCA has now admitted it was Medicaid money, which is what makes the transfer to the Hope Florida Foundation and ultimately this political action campaign, what makes that so wrong, what makes it what Alex has previously called, you know, wire fraud and money laundering. So that's the story in a kind of a nutshell. That's it. And you know, again, Alex gets all the credit for this. You know, he brought this to the fore. He has endured the wrath of the governor and Uthmeyer over this. I mean, many different times the governor. I mean, this is, in case you're sort of new to the area and paying attention, you might have picked up pieces of this, not all of this. This is why the Veterans Treatment Court got killed in Santa Rosa County. This is why all of Alex's bills got vetoed to the extent that he could do that. I mean, and which he did a lot of this. All because of this petty nonsense where the governor and Uthmeyer are wrong. And their own, well, DeSantis's own government, ACCA, has now admitted they were wrong. So, John, when do you think the governor will be apologizing?
He won't. There will not be any press conferences in Pensacola.
Yeah, it's not
or anything,
happen.
No.
I mean, I'd love to see it. You always got a good chance, people the opportunity to come clean and do good.
I would.
At long last. Oh, my God, I was so wrong. And I was petty when I came to Pensacola State College and attacked Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade over this and the Board of Trustees stuff that Michelle had raised, you know, questions about. I was so wrong. It was so petty. It was so ridiculous and so small-minded. I'm so sorry. No, it's not. Nope. Hey, anybody can repent at any time. That's the beauty of Christianity. You can always, you know, God can come into your heart and be like, bro. Well, you know, a boy can hope. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas brings dignity and joy to vulnerable families in our community. Give online at communitiescaringatchristmas.com or deliver new unwrapped toys to WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or News Radio 92.3. Your donation supports foster children, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
There's going to be an Eastern European chick naked in your house, and you're not going to do anything about that?
What am I going to do, huh? Broadcast her over the internet?
It is kind of funny how movies that are funny at one point sound an awful lot like felonies at a different point. 521.
So right.
On News Radio 92.3. Well, you know, that's the beauty of fiction. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump says he's not ruling out sending troops to Venezuela. When he was asked about that possibility in an interview with Politico, the president said he didn't want to comment on that, but he said he wouldn't say one way or the other. But Trump did say that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's days are numbered. One college student is dead, another hurt after a shooting at Kentucky State University. The Frankfort Police Department says they do have a suspect in custody that's currently facing murder and assault charges. He was identified as an Indiana man that did not attend the university. And the Supreme Court is hearing a case today about how inmates are declared intellectually disabled to avoid the death penalty. The court ruled in 2002 that inmates with mental disabilities can't be executed and left that determination up to the states. But in the case of one Alabama death row inmate, the threshold includes an IQ of under 70. He scored from 72 to 78 on multiple tests, and the state says he can be put to death.
Well, I think wasn't part of that case also that at times he had scored under that. So it was a collage of scores.
Yeah.
And so the argument is if he ever scores below a 70, he shouldn't be eligible for the death penalty. They say we've got several showing that he's not quite incompetent mentally enough. You know, wasn't that kind of the background of it? They're going to be quibbling over
right.
how to come up with the assessment that somebody is or is not below a 70 IQ, right?
It looks like his lowest score was 72, and he scored between 72 and like up to 80, kind of. And so, yeah.
Okay. I'll have to go back and look. I thought it was a little bit different than that. But yeah, that's definitely going to be the question is what constitutes being declared, you know, so mentally incapacitated that you cannot even have the mens rea, you cannot even be held, well, you can't have mens rea and go to jail, but you cannot be held culpable for a murder, one execution charge. David, thanks so much for the update. 524 on News Radio 92.3. Kind of a cool story that Studio 850 gets all the credit for reporting first. The Coast Guard, you know, President Trump is big on the Coast Guard. Obviously, we're doing a lot of interdiction and not just interdiction, but, you know, we're just blowing the boats out of the water instead of interdicting them. But sources tell Studio 850 that Pensacola might be in the running for a new Coast Guard recruit training center boot camp because the current boot camp cannot handle everybody. It's at Camp May, New Jersey. But I thought it was Great Lakes. Is that a secondary? What's at Great Lakes? Anyway, that could swear, but I'm just, you know, going on memory here. Anyway, but the rapid growth that's likely to come into the Coast Guard, they don't have the capacity for it. So there is a contracting request for information RFI put out that says we need a place that has housing for 1,200 recruits, a dining facility that'll seat 400. Done. God, the mess hall at NAS Pensacola is enormous. A medical facility for 1,000. people, 14 classrooms, an auditorium with 500 plus capacity, a pool with 6 lanes, done. I mean, we have all this, you know, obviously. God, the pool at NAS Pensacola is enormous. Multi-purpose gym, athletic sports facility for 1,200 people, office space for 400, land area of about 200 acres, and proximity to small commercial service or a larger airport within 30 miles. Check, 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 check. We're all good. We got it all. We could do this at NAS Pensacola. Plus, we already have Coast Guard presence here. With what I will only describe as a varying number of cutters. I think it had been up to 6 at one point. I think we're down to like 4 now, 3. The Cypress is there. That's the buoy tender. And then all of the patrol cutters are there, but they've been retiring them. It was never meant to be permanent. They were kind of coming here for their last gig. Anyway, the Coast Guard is looking at properties and they've got an RFI out. And apparently, again, Studio 850, John Singley gets credit for this. There's been a response submitted locally. So we're in the running to get this, and that's great. Plus, Rick Scott and Ashley Moody are on the Homeland Security Committee, which oversees the Coast Guard, not Armed Services. So, you know, politics, so to speak, may be on our side. You know, 2 votes is 2 votes for Florida, so I'll take it. That'd be kind of cool. 526 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? We're talking about the death penalty a moment ago. We had another execution, the 18th in the year. To me... Okay, I've said it before. This is going to sound callous if you've never heard me talk about this subject before, but 18 is just a really good start. Like, everybody's talking about 18 like it's a really high number. Well, yeah, compared to the normal ridiculously low number of executions. If somebody's on death row and the appeals are exhausted, we're done. Do it. Sign the death warrant. Get it over with. The longer it takes, the less effective it is as a deterrent, although I don't really believe that capital punishment is a deterrent per se, and nor would that justify it if that were the reason you were doing it, but that's a long conversation. The point is, this person absolutely deserved to die. Capital punishment is justified for certain crimes, and I have really no problem with it. The only reason I'm ever concerned about the death penalty is if there's a chance that the person did not actually do the crime. You know, executing innocent people, the longstanding argument against the death penalty is it's final. You cannot undo it. There's no, you know, let them out later, right? Okay, that's true. But there's also no let them out later under life imprisonment, unless you discover that there was a problem. And that has happened. And that's horrifying, which is why I think the standard for the death penalty ought to be not beyond a reasonable doubt, but with no doubt, beyond any doubt. And there are cases where you have no doubt. And this is one of those cases. So just because I tell you this, because we hear these death penalty opponents always, you know, for various reasons, many of them good-hearted reasons, misguided but good-hearted, think that death penalty is inappropriate. You know, they'll say, you don't know what this person might be capable of. You don't know what kind of forgiveness. Yeah, I agree. I'm a Christian too. But you don't know whether the imminent threat of their dying might not be the one thing they need in order to come to repentance, as opposed to the never-ending life imprisonment scenario where they might never face that same kind of imminent pressure to consider their eternal salvation. So in this case, this guy... I hate saying perpetrators' names, but okay. What he did, okay, Gerald's his last name, Mark Allen Gerald's. He had done some work on this woman's house. Her name is Pettibone. And basically had done work about a year ago, and this is in Panama City, and he had done work on the house, you know, outside, you know, handyman kind of stuff. And then he bumped into her at the mall the next year, and he's chattering with her. And she basically winds up telling him, you know, what's going on in her life and, you know, that her husband's out of town. And, you know, so, you know, she's just kind of at home alone. Ran into her with her 2 kids at the mall. This is about a week before the killing. He comes back and talks to the son by himself, 8-year-old son at himself at a video arcade and asks him, hey, do you know when your dad's coming home? Oh, okay. All right, cool. What time do you and your sister get off for school? As in, what time will she be at the house alone? So he comes back in, you know, during the time he's gotten intel from the kid. He attacks her. He murders her brutally. And then he steals a bunch of jewelry, which, you know, has his blood on it and plastic ties tie him to the scene. And so the kid is the first one to discover his murdered mother when he gets home from school. Yeah, execute him. Period. We're done. There's no question. There's no, well, you know, maybe this person deserves to live. No. And the biblical reason, if that matters to you, is the only way that a person who commits murder can actually even be allowed to pay for the murder is by the shedding of their own blood. Blood for bloodshed is what the Bible talks about. So you're not dishonoring, you're not demeaning, you're not dehumanizing somebody by killing them. You're actually giving them the last final chance to pay in this life for the crime they committed. It's actually an incredibly honoring thing to their humanity. You know, when you don't kill them because, let's say, they're mentally incompetent, the Supreme Court case, it's kind of like you're saying they're not human enough to deserve or to be able to pay that way. So it's actually a very honoring thing to do. And we rid society of a problem.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump stops in northeastern Pennsylvania saying his top priority is making America affordable again, blaming the former president for sticky inflation.
They caused the high prices and we're bringing them down. It's a simple message.
The president adding,
we're bringing those prices down rapidly, lower prices, bigger paychecks. You're getting lower prices, bigger paychecks. We're getting inflation. We're crushing it.
His chief of staff, Susie Weil, says her boss will be campaigning hard next year for the 2026 midterms. The ban, now in effect in Australia, becomes the first nation in the world preventing kids under 16 from using social media.
It's just kind of like pointless.
Now, that team upset with the ban. And a decision coming out later today on interest rates from the central bank. The Fed's decision at 2 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 38 degrees. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola this morning, and we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons reacting to the overturned murder charges in the Ladarius Clarity case, an appeals court ruling last week that DeKavion Snowden's Miranda rights were violated during questioning, forcing prosecutors to drop that case entirely.
I disagree with the district courts. I mean, you know, you can look at a lot of examples of people that disagree with court findings. In this case, I just want to remind everyone that we had the state attorney's office, who are attorneys who know the laws. Our investigators are highly trained. They're experienced investigators. They know the law. And it's always been known that if you read someone their rights and they decide not to talk to you, they can reengage and you can have that conversation.
And still, Sheriff Simmons says disagreement doesn't change the outcome. He tells News Radio that law enforcement does have to respect the courts even when they don't like the ruling. He said his office believes the investigation was handled correctly. Well, if you've ever wanted to spend all summer on the beach, being a lifeguard might be for you. The Pensacola Beach Lifeguards are holding tryouts this Saturday at the UWF Aquatic Center. If you want to qualify for the job, you'll need to swim 550 yards in a pool within 10 minutes, run 1.5 miles on a track in 15 minutes or less, and be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license. And if you can't make it this Saturday, another tryout being held the following Saturday, December 20th. Now, Florida is one of the biggest lottery-playing states in the country. New study out showing that Floridians spend around $395 per 1,000 people each year on lottery tickets, well above the national average of $284. That puts the state 11th highest in the nation, but players also get a decent return. Florida gives back 71% of ticket sales as prize money, ranking 10th best in the U.S. Now, for comparison, Massachusetts tops the spending list at a massive $858 per 1,000 people. Virginia gives players the best value, returning more than 77% of prizes. Well, Florida is suing those that it accuses of mutilating kids and misleading families. Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing yesterday his office is suing the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, the Endocrine Society, and the American Academy for Pediatrics. He said they've misled public opinion on the safety of gender-affirming care for minors. Uthmeyer accuses the defendants of telling parents their kids would commit suicide if they didn't go through with life-altering procedures like double mastectomies and castration. Rick Scott asking his colleagues to back his effort to denounce socialism. Scott spoke on the Senate floor yesterday to call for unanimous passage of his resolution condemning socialism. According to the resolution, socialism is a failed ideology and the antithesis of the American dream. Scott accuses what he's calling crazy radicals in New York City of forgetting they've benefited from the very system they criticize. And he says that we need to do that. They need to do what we did in Florida, cut taxes, reduce government regulations, and grow jobs. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a chilly start to your morning with temperatures warming up by this afternoon, 64 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 58. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 46. Going to be looking at mostly sunny skies on Friday with 67 degrees for your high, and Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
38, partly cloudy, your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Reserve is poised to deliver its third straight interest rate cut later today, following a period of remarkable indecision about which way central bank policymakers would lean. Markets have settled on a quarter percentage point reduction. If that's the case, it will take the Fed's key interest rate down to a range of 3.5% to 3.75%. Amazon has committed to investing over $35 billion in India's cloud and artificial intelligence space by 2030. In the next 5 years, Amazon said the plan is expected to generate an additional 1 million direct, indirect, induced, and seasonal jobs in India. The CEO of South Korean online retail giant Coupang Corporation has resigned 3 weeks after the company became aware of a massive data breach that affected nearly 34 million customers. Following his resignation, Coupang appointed Harold Rogers, the chief administrative officer and general counsel, as interim CEO. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the slow smoke barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 5:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, just a quick correction. David had it more right than I did on the Supreme Court case. He had five tests above a 70, between 72 and 78. The standard deviation on the IQ test is 3. So the argument was partially that if you're at a 72 and your deviation is 3 minus or plus, then it could be a 69, and that's good enough to show him eligible. There's some disagreement. Even the Supreme Court said the 11th Circuit's ruling on this is not clear how you're supposed to interpret a batch of results and how to. So that's what they're going to talk about the Supreme Court today. But he was right. There were no test scores below a 70. There was just the one at 72 with the deviation to a 69, possibly that was enough to, describe him as mentally incompetent for purposes of being qualified for the death penalty under the Eighth Amendment. Yesterday I had a chance to talk with our good friend Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. I did want to get a couple of things to kind of like clean up, and I just want to make sure we don't forget to get to them. You and I talked previously about the disagreement that you and the state attorney's office had over the appropriateness, and with the courts, over the appropriateness of handling the interrogation of the suspect in the Aldi Clarity murder. Those charges have now been dropped, and so the case is done, I guess. And you know, we've kind of hashed this out a little bit before, but any final thoughts on this? You know, do you plan to do anything differently going forward as a result of what happened here?
Well, I mean, my thoughts have not changed. I disagree with the district court. I mean, you know, you can look at a lot of examples of people that disagree with court findings. In this case, I just want to remind everyone that we had the state attorney's office, who are attorneys, who know the laws. Our investigators are highly trained. They're experienced investigators. They know the law, and it's always been known that if you read someone their rights and they decide not to talk to you, they can re-engage and you can have that conversation. What you do is you re-administer them the rights, and in our case, that's exactly what took place. He requested a re-engagement of a conversation, and when we re-engaged, we reapplied this Miranda warning, and there was even a suppression hearing in Judge Simon's court. And Judge Simon, during that suppression hearing, found that interrogation was legitimate and legal. But again, that's the system that we live in. We have to respect that, and we'll do so. We have had many conversations for a year now, I guess.
Yeah.
Over you know, these conversations and what we can do better. I mean, we're not fools. We're going to look at it and say, okay, there's something that we could do a little differently.
Even if we believe we're right, it doesn't matter if the courts say we're wrong.
Right. Because we don't want this to happen again.
Right.
You know, I do want to remind everyone there was another individual that is serving
convicted,
life in
right?
prison.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, this is another that we felt like was guilty as well. And they were found guilty in prison. And then obviously the District Court of Appeals decided differently.
I said it a little bit. I may have said it wrong. I know you disagree with the court. Is there friction or daylight between you and the state attorney's office over this thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I think I said that wrong then. Thank you for clarifying. The other thing is, like, what do you do in a case like this? You've got somebody that you are convinced and was convicted, although that was later overturned. You're convinced as a murderer running around on the streets. You just pretend like you don't know that? What do you do?
Well, there are times when we are convinced that there's a person did a certain crime, whether it's not always murder, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's someone, we knew this is the person that burglarized this house. This is the person we think that robbed this bank. But we don't have probable cause to make an arrest. That's the system we live in. That's why we are the greatest country this world's ever known, because you have to be able to prove someone is guilty of a crime in the court of law.
Right.
And so we understand our role in that this system, and we want to make sure that we do things as professional as we possibly can. And sometimes, you know, these are the only times things get overturned, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, laws change and Supreme Courts and courts all over the place strike down rulings. We had one, that struck down the open carry statute in the state of Florida. So all those individuals that were arrested for open carry throughout the years, all those have been dismissed. So this happens regularly. But again, that's part of the system, and we have to respect that and live within it.
I guess as a citizen, you know, it would comfort me to know that, you know, you guys pay extra attention to people that you think are murderers and are walking around the streets. I mean, I don't know what the rule is about, you know, surveilling them. I know you always have to have probable cause. You have to have evidence before you act in any case. But I don't want you to pretend like you don't know what you know. I mean, I want you to keep me safe. And part of that means paying extra attention to the bad guys, the real bad guys.
Well, I mean, all I can tell you is that if we think someone is involved in criminal activity, we will investigate them.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say
okay.
about all right,
that. Fair. Yeah, and I mean, I certainly don't want to get you into any kind of trouble, you know, for future cases as well. So we had a case with a property theft in Cantonment, a whole bunch of weird stuff, right? Like I don't even remember all the things, a boat, many tens
everything
of thousands
you
of
can
dollars.
Think
right?
of. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly from one warehouse or something, right?
Yeah, we got a kind of a tip that, hey, there's some bad things, some thefts going on and some property, stolen property. And I don't recall. I think Garmin Road is an unrelated stolen tractor. So we get there. And this is a long, complicated investigation. But to your point, we discovered utility trailer, outboard engine. I have to read it all because a lot of stuff. A Ford Marine engine, all confirmed, stolen in a recent commercial burglary. And then he was linked to, a 17-foot Key West boat, just a number of things. Basically, they stole like $35,000 worth of equipment. We ended up arresting, let me get his name here, Odom's, his last name is Odom, 47-year-old male.
Christopher Odom.
Christopher Odom was charged with all this stuff. No one likes a thief, right? And in this case, you're stealing everything you can get your hands on.
Yeah, this is like this is next level shoplifting, right? Like, I mean, he just sees something, he takes it.
He has a specialty, right? He's boats and trailers and that sort of thing.
Was he trying to sell them?
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't have the information. Kleptomaniac, on that, but
can't stop about acquiring tractors.
Ago, we had about a guy stealing about $100,000 worth of equipment. Yeah, a lot of it was Dave.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
different things. So our investigators are doing a really good job of tracking down these thieves and putting them in jail. Hopefully they stay in jail. You know, they're not out quickly on bond, or they get some sort of a light or moderate sentence, and they can keep terrorizing our
right
law-abiding citizens.
No, you're exactly right, though. Nobody loves a thief, particularly. I guess we had a stabbing cutting overnight on Citrus near Massachusetts. Is that what happened? You had the canine got involved. What happened here?
Yeah, well, we get a call. It happened on the 7th. We get a call that in the 400 block of Citrus Street that there was a cutting. Someone had been stabbed and cut in the hand. When we get there, we develop a Brandon Bacon. That's his real name. Brandon Bacon is the suspect in this case. Our canine gets there, and he tracks with his handler, obviously, all the way to an address. I think it's 421 Citrus. 421 Citrus, where the suspect, Brandon Baker, also happens to live, right? So we knock on the door. He doesn't come to the door. We secure an arrest warrant and a search warrant. Mm-hmm. When he doesn't open the door, we open it for them. and then we track the blood. So there's a knife there. Then we see him behind a bed, but he won't come out. And so the canine handler gives a warning. The canine himself probably gave a warning. And then he decided to come out. So our canine took care of business and apprehended the suspect. Got arrested, charged with aggravated battery.
Okay. Well, good work by all. Wow. You went to Tallahassee, right, to meet with the other sheriffs and the legislative delegation. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm not big on going to Tallahassee. That's a slow, you know, sausage making operation over there. But so people understand, I was there last Tuesday. We have what we call Sheriff's Day at the Capitol. It's our opportunity to get together and talk about some of our legislative priorities, mm-hmm. some things that we see that maybe we're not be comfortable with, and we say, hey, representative or senator, this is kind of where we, as a collectively and individually, where we think we can make our community safer. And so that's what we did.
So this is by region? So this would be like Michelle and
the entire state. The entire state. We had about 30. In fact, it was the largest collection of sheriffs for a legislative day that we've had. So
okay.
I think 35 sheriffs met. This is the second meeting. First meeting is legislative day, where we all meet and talk about what our priorities are.
Okay.
And then this was the meeting that we can walk the halls of the Capitol. And we have an opportunity to meet with the President of the Senate, Mr. Albritton.
Okay.
And just say, hey, these things are important to us. And I think what's kind of revealing is that we spoke to, I recall his name, there's a tons of representatives.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he spoke to us and he says, you know, I when I got here, you guys are thanking me for what we've done, the bills we've passed. What you should be thanking me for is the bills that we've stopped.
Mm.
Because there's some ridiculous, mm-hmm. silly, crazy laws that or bills that various representatives in various locations and various senators in various locations throughout the state of Florida are trying to get passed.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can stop the majority of this nonsense is he's right, is probably something we should be thanking them for. But rest assured, I'm no lobbyist, and I don't intend to be a lobbyist. I'm more forthright with, this is ridiculous, you can't do this. This is the implications it's going to have. And I do appreciate their willingness to listen to the sheriffs. We have a rather strong coalition,
mm-hmm.
And we're able to, you know, to let them know what is important to our community.
Anything particular coming up in session that's caught your attention, either good or bad?
A lot of the conversations about property tax reduction and relief, and
funding
what that
impact,
might do
right?
To sheriff's office, because the sheriff's office is throughout the state,
right?
And municipal police departments are funded through general funds. And so it's one of those things where let's try to figure out which one of these bills might make it to the surface, and then what the governor may or may not sign. So there's some conversations, but the governor might have some priorities as well. So a lot of it, we're talking about that. And we decided, again, collectively, that there's no reason to panic now. There's, if there's a time to panic, we'll panic then. But right now, there is, let's take a look and see, because thousands of bills get presented in only one or two.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Actually come through. So, yeah, we'll take a look at that. And that's what a lot of conversations are. Whether there's a carve out for law enforcement or public safety, and if that's a 1-year carve out, 2-year carve out, because if you're, there's already a law that you cannot defund law enforcement, right? But defund means that we would have the same budget next year as we have this year, and that's,
you can slow defund.
You have to reduce staffing, because most the overwhelming majority of our funding is for personnel.
Santa Rosa County is clearly moving towards having school zone speed cameras, right? Milton is doing a study. Gulf Breeze has done the study. They're implementing or going to implement. And then Santa Rosa County is also, which is being led largely by the sheriff and the school board. I've been surprised I haven't heard this conversation in Escambia County. Have you guys taken a position on school zone speed cameras? Have you talked with either the school board or the, Board of County Commissioners about this issue? Do you think it's a problem in Escambia County?
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about this. I have two complaints that I get on regarding school zones. One is that, people are speeding through them, and the other is that people can't move because the cars are at gridlock.
Oh, my God, yes. I live right by a high school, so yes.
I'm assuming it's somewhere in between, that there are speeders, obviously. And then there are congestion problems. So, again, if it's congestion, you're not speeding. So that's something we got to kind of
congestion solves the speeding problem.
I will tell you that I've had a couple of conversations throughout the last year or so with Keith Leonard, the superintendent. Very open about what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't do with regards to speeding in school zones, but also with regards to school bus cameras on school bus stop, the stop
arms.
Arms on a school bus. And we're not in a position yet, or at least I'm not in a position yet where I would recommend to them, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Those school zones, that's why what you're talking about, and I haven't read up on what they're doing over in Santa Rosa County, but it takes a lot of studies. It takes a lot of effort, takes some ordinance changes, takes some support from the county, the Board of County Commissioners and the school district and obviously the sheriff's office to work within that. So it's a lot. But we're not looking at it at this point. I'm not looking at it at this very moment.
Okay. One of the other stories that comes out of Gulf Breeze is that they're looking to acquire a canine that's trained to identify guns, which is kind of a novelty. I'd not heard of that one before.
Identify guns? That's a 9mm, that's a .38?
No? That's a Walther. that bark indicates it's clearly
the presence of a firearm.
Austrian, that's a Glock.
Say? Okay.
Well done.
I guess. And
I thought that was kind of interesting because that's kind of a novelty at this point within the law enforcement community. That's not a very common one. Yeah, obviously drugs, obviously tracking dogs, obviously, bomb detection for the airport. But to identify that somebody's coming into the school with a gun as opposed to having a metal detector or something like that. Is that an application or a canine style that you guys have looked at all for the schools? Does that come to your attention at all?
No, I it's not. That's not the conversations that we've had with the school district on what type of a dogs that we get. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, we've had bomb dogs, we've had electronics dogs, and we certainly have drug dogs and apprehension.
And I think in this case, it's meant to be simultaneously to identify guns, but also it's more like a lab style. It's meant to be more of a companion dog, like that the kids could actually pet and play with and touch, that when the SRO is on campus, it's not a shepherd, it's not a Malinois. It's something that's much more approachable, I think. It's kind
of
dual purpose.
I think they met some of those at the airport. I'm not sure if that was a bomb dog or if it was a gun. And, maybe they can train them both. If you can detect for bombs, maybe you can also detect for
it seems like it'd be similar.
Of some sort, yeah. Again, I'm not an expert in canines. I know they smell very well. And so I'm thinking that you can teach them to identify a firearm.
He said, well, he doesn't mean they smell good. They're not sweet smelling. They're effective at their job. John snickering over here at your good use of grammar.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, John. Let the man talk. You've got movie night coming up in Cantonment.
We got movie night coming up in Cantonment, yeah. On Friday, this Friday, we're going to be showing The Grinch up there. And it's right after the Century Christmas Parade. And as I understand it, the parade will end right there at the Anthony Pleasant Park. And we'll start showing the movie thereafter. We got a hamburgers and hot dogs and some chips and some drinks, and we'll have canines.
And you don't do horses. And you don't do a lot of stuff. And like, this is kind of unusual for cantonment, so or for a century. So nice, right?
Yeah, no, I mean we like to get there as much as we can, but Steamboat County is a big county. You know, we have 800 square miles, I believe it is, and to drive from here to cantonment takes almost an hour.
Yeah.
So we try to get up there. We certainly have a precinct up there in cantonment. We have deputies that patrol up there. And so it's a good opportunity for us to get up there and re-engage with the folks up there at Century.
Very good. Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time this morning. And please forgive my producer for, you know, his...
I forgive both of y'all.
That's 100%.
For stuff you've done and stuff you're about to do.
Oh, all right. My priest and my sheriff. Chip Simmons, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'll take care.
I guess I should have said my pastor, my sheriff, but the pastors don't really do forgiving. It's the priest who do it, so whatever. Anyway, all right, we need to have a grammar talk, John.
Okay.
All
right.
Do you know the difference between an adverb and an adjective?
Adjective describes something. I know that.
A noun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Adverb describes a verb. It's how you do a thing.
Correct.
Okay? Generally. Okay, so if you ask me how I feel and I say I feel good, like James Brown, because I am healthy. Correct or incorrect?
I feel good because I'm healthy.
Things are good for me.
Sure, that sounds great.
That's it. Yes, it's an adjective. If I say I feel well, have I said that I am healthy?
Nope.
Aside from the fact that well in and of itself can also be an adjective, no, what you said is I'm good at feeling. If it's an adjective, I feel well, as in I'm good at doing the process of feeling. I feel good. I'm in happy. I'm healthy. But ironically, well can also just mean being healthy or whatever. So if a dog smells good, that means, oh, your dog smells good. If a dog smells well, it's because he's really good at smelling. All dogs smell what most all dogs smell well. All right, we there now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love you too. Love you too.
Did I also say this? We talked about hypercorrection.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this? You remember this? Hypercorrection is the feeling that when you know you're not so great at grammar, you think that it's supposed to sound wrong, and so you actually overcorrect to the wrong thing because you think that good grammar is supposed to sound awkward. So sometimes people say, you know, I feel well, pretentiously trying to think it's supposed to be that because it sounds wrong. Well, it just is wrong. I'm Andrew McKay.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing. But this holiday season, let there be light. From classic Christmas lights to Govee permanent lighting, Squeegee Squad designs a custom look that fits your home perfectly. And hey, get off the ladder. Their licensed, insured pros handle the install, the detail, and the dazzle. Residential or commercial, windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, Christmas lights, and Govee lights, Squeegee Squad does it all. Less hassle, more ho, ho, ho. Call Squeegee Squad and light up your holidays.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
All right, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. No time for David with the news. But in case you're wondering, I know because I haven't really talked about this, I did have a tooth pulled. Yeah, I had a tooth pulled yesterday. Yeah, I had a tooth pulled yesterday, just one. But I am not on the narcotics yet. So that doesn't explain anything. This is just me. What in the heck am I listening to? Common reaction to this show, that is. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local news every hour.
WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola.
Most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
At a casino resort in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania, President Trump said his economy is